Thank you very much. It's been great to get away, but it's greater to come back. This is my favorite place on the planet, and literally my wife and I have been around the planet the last 3 weeks, and so it's a lot better to be here. I love it here. You guys are my favorite, and 3 weeks is a long, stinking time to be away from church. I don't know how some of you come to church once a month, all right? I'm like, I gotta get back to church. Yeah, so they didn't have church on the cruise ship we were on. I'm like, what? A bunch of heathens here on the cruise ship. It's true. If you've ever been on a cruise, you know that's true. You know that's true. Anyhow, today we are reading from Mark chapter 3. It says, Jesus went into the synagogue again. A synagogue was like their church. And I want you to, in case you don't know this, the synagogue was much smaller than this room. It was about half the size of this room. And the seats didn't face this way. The seats were on the outside. It was like a more of a bench, a layered bench. And it would sit facing the center on three sides. So everybody was looking towards what was happening in the middle, which I thought about even setting up the service that way this morning. And then they couldn't figure it out for the back. But so here it is. They're in the synagogue again. And Jesus noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. Sabbath is their holy day. His enemies watched him closely. Do you know that your enemies are watching you closely? They do. So they can put it on Facebook or Instagram if you mess up. If he healed the man's hand, that's what they're watching to see if he healed the man's hand. They plan to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. The only thing bad they could think about Jesus was that he did good things on a holy day. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. So here he is in the front and center. Then he turned to the critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily. Jesus looked at them angrily. I've looked at some people angrily. I wonder what it would be like to be looked at from Jesus angrily. I don't like that thought. And was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once, Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus, because he healed people. Many times, you'll notice in life, the right things are opposed. Jesus was opposed. They planned to accuse him for doing good things to try to twist it and make it bad somehow. And ultimately, they succeeded in convincing people that he was bad. I want you to notice this, and stay with me carefully here. Many times, it is religion. Somebody say religion. Many times it's religion itself that is the greatest hindrance to the miraculous and life-changing work of God. You're like, what? How is that possible? Aren't we religious? Well, hopefully you're not. Religion has a way of showing up in formal and informal ways in our life. Just think about the standards, okay? We have Catholic and Protestants. We have Muslims and Jewish and Hindu and Buddhist and New Age and Satanist and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and atheist and Christ scientist and Scientologists, which are not the same thing, but the largest religion in the United States is none of those. Lots of people claim those things, but they're not really those things. The largest religion in the United States is really secular humanism. This is just the idea, I will do whatever I want, whenever I want to do it, whoever I want to do it with, and it doesn't matter what you say. It's just basically every American. And it is a form of a religion. Now, many religious systems especially if it is a good and pure religion, the Bible talks about a good and pure religion. Ideally, it would help you to create a doctrine and systems of structures and the way of proper thinking, which can be fine and good to have. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when we somehow place those things or our own human reasoning above the reason of God, we then turn our religion into God. And that's the wrong way. religion should serve our relationship with God, not the other way around. When we place our own human reasoning in front of the very word of God, we in effect claim deity to ourselves. That I am God. I decide what I'm going to do with my life. I decide what is right. I decide what is wrong. Our third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, was so bothered by the Bible that he took the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he literally cut out all the miraculous things that Jesus did. He cut them out and then pasted everything back together. He was trying to be God to himself, God unto himself. There's a chair behind me. I want you to think about this chair as a big fancy throne, like in a castle where the king would sit. And I want you to know that every one of our lives has a chair, a throne. And there's a chair right there in that throne. And so many times, this is what we do. We see this nice chair, and we sit in it. The problem is, this chair is reserved for God. And when you choose to sit in the chair that's reserved for God, you claim deity to yourself. You are a God unto yourself. You are the God for your own life. You determine what is your own right and your own wrong. And that's a bad path. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death, the Bible says. We have a throne in our life that's reserved for God. Ask yourself, are you on your own throne? Are you in the driver's seat? Because I've driven with some of you. That's not a good thing. God needs to be in the driver's seat, on the throne in our life. When we, in practice, elevate these things in our life, these ideas, these systems, these structures, to a status that is more important than what the Scripture says, the religion becomes more important than the relationship with God. And the moment that the religion becomes more important than the relationship with God, the religion in that moment becomes the enemy of God. Something else to notice in our culture today is that politics have become a new religion. It's deeply important that wherever you land on the spectrum, it never gets in front of what God says. Notice in the account today that not everybody has to agree with Jesus in order for the miracle to happen. In fact, all the Pharisees, all the religious leaders, the institutional religious guys, they all disagreed with Jesus. And yet, the man was still healed. In fact, most of the time when you're moving towards God, there's going to be plenty of people that are disagreeing with you. They might try to hold you back. They might try to discourage you. They might try to dissuade you from your new pursuit of God. But religious opposition did not stop Jesus from ministering the power of God to needy people. And everywhere Jesus went, the Pharisees and religious leaders and hypocrites and demons opposed Jesus every step he took. And do you know who else opposed Jesus? This might surprise you. His own family opposed him. Now, his family was good people. Like his mom, Mary, good people. His brothers and sisters and mom all opposed him. Some of you just found out he had brothers and sisters. You're like, what's going on? That's a different Bible study. But later on in Mark chapter 3, verse 21, it says, regarding Jesus, when his family heard about this, all these miracles, all this teaching, all of the stuff that was putting him out front and center, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. That's his mom and his brothers and sisters. They didn't get it yet. They weren't 100% sure. If you read further, you'll see why. There's an active attempt by the enemy all the time, no matter what you are doing, if you're moving towards God, to keep you from letting you have an ongoing relationship with God, an encounter with God. The enemy will oppose it. And sometimes, even the good people in our life can accidentally oppose us. Don't hate them. They just don't understand. Sometimes it shows up as religion. Sometimes it shows up as other people. Sometimes it shows up as your own thoughts. Your own thoughts get in your way. Sometimes it shows up as fear and doubt, standing on your shoulders, whispering in your ears, fear and doubt, fear and doubt, fear and doubt. The real question is this. In spite of the opposition, are you desperate enough for Jesus to let him change your life? Not just for 5 minutes right now on a Sunday, so you feel good and get on with the rest of the day, but are you willing to let Jesus change your life for the rest of your life? In spite of the fear, in spite of the doubts, are you willing to stand up in front of everybody like in that man in the synagogue and hold your hand out towards Jesus and let Jesus touch you? Even though it doesn't make sense to your current theological paradigm or your philosophical worldview or your family worldview, are you willing to reach out through all of that, get past all of that, and let God show up in your life? The fact that the man's hand was deformed implies, in the original word for that, it implies that he had contracted some kind of disease or had some kind of accident in his life. In other words, he wasn't born with his hand that way. He had a correct form to his hand, and his hand had been reshaped or deformed. The enemy somehow had deconstructed his hand in the wrong direction. His hand wasn't supposed to be like that. Have you ever heard anybody say, when you're like, gently helping them try to do the right thing, like, well, I can't help it. And you've heard people say that, right? Well, most of the time it's you that's saying it. I can't help it, right? Have you ever said that? I can't help it. It's just the way I am. I'm Irish. I can't help it. I have a temper. I can't help it. I can't help myself from falling in love with you. Man, I thought about singing it so bad. I realized I don't know the words because I think it's a stupid song. So you're thinking, well, why is it so stupid? Well, if you've ever believed somebody, ladies, if you ever believed a man that said to you, I can't help myself from falling in love with you, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. He was lying. Now, it might make a nice song, but it's a bad way to live your life, because if you can't help falling in love, guess what? You can't help falling out of love. Boom. The point is this. There's a form, okay? There's a standard. There's a form that God challenges us to take, a mark, a paradigm, a plan. He wants us to move toward that, not away from it, forward, not backward. He does not want us to settle for brokenness. He wants us to stretch ourselves, hold out our hand, reach out for wholeness. Don't settle for the brokenness. Go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm broken and I need you to make me whole. But in order to be made whole, you must acknowledge your brokenness as brokenness. Everyone around you, the moment you start to talk like this, that you're broken, everyone around you will say, you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. Have you ever met a human? Every human I know is broken. Everyone. Like, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. Well, you're messed up. You're jacked up. The Bible makes it extremely clear. Every single human is born broken. Dylan said, already ruined, or you have sin in your life from the moment you take a breath. You are polluted by centuries, by millennium of sinful corruption on the planet. You are born without a chance except through Jesus. That's the whole point. Maybe you don't like that, but that's the way it is. That's why you're all jacked up. The pop culture around you will say, you're not broken. Now, this is the trend now. Certain religious professionals will now say, no, you're not broken. I just want to punch them in the face with my broken, sinful humanity. That's talking there. I want you to know this out of love. Every human being is born broken. Just like Jesus took that deformed hand and made it whole, he wants to take your brokenness, your broken life, your broken identity, your broken heart, your broken spirit, your broken dreams, and he wants to make them all whole in him. devil, your whole life, is trying to deform you, to bring brokenness upon you, trying to create more and more brokenness in your life. The reason you can't catch a break is because there's somebody working against you every second of every day trying to bring you down. And there's five critical areas that the enemy tries to do this in your life in. And we'll, in a few weeks, we're going to talk about finding freedom in each of those areas. But the five things that he really tries to bring brokenness in your life is, first off, physically. He tries to bring physical brokenness into your life. Mess up your body. Mess up your physical being. He tries to mess up your financial life. Your financially broken life. Just think, just for a second, is it possible that for your whole life, the enemy has been trying to break you financially? Yes. Why do you think that some of you have lived in generations of poverty? Your mom and your grandmom and your grandmamom. There's a path out. Why does everybody stay in it? Think about countries on the planet that have had centuries of poverty. Because there's somebody opposing. There's this enemy that's opposing. The enemy tries to bring emotional brokenness. The enemy tries to bring sexual brokenness. And the enemy tries to bring spiritual brokenness. Five critical areas that have a great impact on our life. If you're like, wow, if I was not broke in any of those areas, I'd be doing all right. That's exactly right. You would be doing all right. But in Christ Jesus, there is freedom in every one of those areas. Every single one of those areas. Now, the journey to wholeness requires an understanding that we are broken and in need of being made whole. Our AA friends and NA friends, right at the very beginning of the step process, steps one, step two, identify, I'm in trouble. I can't figure this out. I can't do this on my own. That's not exactly how it says it, but you get the idea. Isn't it interesting that the man clearly was supposed to hold out, when Jesus said hold out the hand, you know what I probably would have done? I'd be like, here's the good hand. I'm kind of hiding the deformed hand behind my back. It's awesome that the man put out his bad hand, his deformed hand. He understood, oh, Jesus is getting ready to do something. Now, I want you to notice this. The Pharisees in the story, they didn't care about this guy. They didn't care about the guy with the deformed hand. He probably wasn't even normally allowed to be in the room. They probably were trying to set Jesus up, found this deformed guy outside, said, hey, come in. Lucky day for him. The only way to receive the touch that Jesus has for us is to stretch forth your hand and give him your brokenness. You have to be willing to expose your weakness. You have to be bold enough to uncover your problem, extend it for God, and sometimes for even other people to see. And so what I'm asking you to do today is consider extending your mess to God. Uncover your problems. Expose the weakness. Reveal your pain. And I'm asking you to trust what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians when it says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And you only get to be strong because of Jesus. Your strength won't get you to God. But if you give him your weaknesses, he will reach back to you. And he will heal your brokenness. In case you weren't aware, we've been saying it for the last 17 years, this church is a church for the broken and for people that love broken people. And if that's you today, if you are broken, if you've been in an area of your life destroyed, brokenhearted, depressed, suicidal, bound up, addicted, struggling, hiding, pretending, please, don't walk around pretending like everything's okay. Don't pass on another opportunity to get touched by Jesus. That's why we do this every Sunday, to give you an opportunity to touch Jesus and to let Jesus touch you. And Jesus is here, not just on Sundays. He's with you every second of every day. And I want you to imagine, if you would. Imagine if you're standing 2,000 years ago in a synagogue. You're all alone. Nobody really knows you in that room. And somehow you get pulled out. Somehow you get isolated, and Jesus comes to you, looks you straight in the eyes, and says, "Hold out your hand." What will you give him? Will you give him the good hand? Or will you be honest and give him your broken hand? Jesus is here to change your life and mine. All we got to do is drop the tough facade, the fake masks. He's here to revolutionize our lives. If we will just stop worrying about what everybody else is thinking. Because the reality is, with God, you've got to keep it real. It's the ultimate keep it real relationship. You got to keep it real, real broken, real hurt, real angry, real depressed, real life. And you got to hand that to Jesus. And when you hand that to Jesus, Jesus does something fantastic. He makes you real free. Real free. Jesus said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. When Jesus calls you forward and asks you to do something that seems embarrassing, that seems unusual, out of the ordinary, difficult, complicated, I've discovered that usually means there's a miracle on the other side. You want me to do what? Oh, I should do that. Because there's a miracle on the other side. It doesn't matter what people think. When Jesus tells you to hold out your hand, have you ever noticed, whatever that means in your life, it's like every force of hell stops and starts to oppose you. You're trying to do the right thing, but nobody will let you do it. That's because every force in hell has stopped and opposed you. Don't do it. You can't. It's stupid. You've always been this way. Haters that you didn't even know you had suddenly show up in force. Trolls lie in wait to attack you on the internet bridge of life. But Jesus says, hold out your hand. I've learned in life that the first person to kill somebody else's dream, somebody else's miracle, is the least likely to ever accomplish a dream or to experience their own miracle. When Jesus spoke these words to that man, as the worship team comes up, it ignited an explosion in his spirit and his faith. It just came alive, and instantly the impossible became possible. I don't know how he understood all of this in a moment, but he did. In that moment, he was able to do what everybody said he could never do. In that moment, every can't do and can't have of religion and past failures broke off of his life. And in that moment, his hand, which was deformed, became whole and complete. Some of you today are ready. You're ready to break through and break out. Others of you aren't. Here's what it's going to take. It's going to take some stretching. It's going to require you to hold out your hand. It's going to require you to hold out your brokenness. To get there, you're going to have to do things you've not done before. Be honest in ways you've not been honest before. You have to stretch out your hand to Jesus. If this doesn't seem normal to you, you're like, what is going on here? I want you to know something. It is not normal. It's unusual. We're not talking about normal. You can get normal outside. Good luck with that. What we're talking about here is amazing. We're talking about amazing grace. We're just stretching. We're just holding out our hand, being honest with God. If you decide today to press in a little more fervently, it's okay. We'll know you're just stretching. If you decide to praise a little more seriously moving forward, it's okay. We'll know you're just stretching. If you decide to break off some old habits, it's okay. No, you're just stretching. If you need to say amen or lift your hands or jump up and down, it's okay. We might think you're crazy, but we'll know you're just stretching. Friends, when you start stretching, somebody else will start stretching. Your faith will be contagious, and soon we'll all be stretching together, holding out our hand, stretching out our hand towards Jesus. You know what happens when people start hold out their hands towards Jesus? They are restored. And when you hold out your hand, you are reformed. God reforms you. He takes you back to the form that He has for you when you give Him your brokenness. Would you stand with me as we close today? Just close your eyes and bow your heads with me today. The worship team will close us in a moment. Today, many of you need to give your brokenness to Jesus. It's okay to do that. He wants you to do that. It's not a surprise to Him. So right now, where you're at, I want you to think about a couple of areas in your life. A couple areas in your life that you know are authentically broken. You've come to terms with it. It's a struggle. It's a weakness. Whatever it is, you are broken. The question right now is, will you respond to Jesus today? Jesus is right here, right now, saying to you, just like He did 2,000 years ago, hold out your hand. Hold out your hand. He's saying, give me your brokenness. Give me your brokenness. As the worship team closes us with this song, maybe there's a brokenness in particular today that you would like to give to Jesus. The altars are open for you to come and do that. Just take some time today, wherever you're at. Stretch out your hand and give Jesus your brokenness.
Today, Father, we come to You. Would You help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with You. Reveal to us areas of our life that You would love to come in and transform, areas of our life that need to be adjusted and corrected and reformed. Whether we are young or old or in between, we know that You are always still willing to work with us. You are not done with us. You still have plans for us. Help us to have the faith of this man with a shriveled and deformed hand. Help us to have his faith to reach out to give Jesus his weakness, his brokenness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great day. Have a great day.